Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Last night's Monday Night Raw, folks, doesn't really give us a ton to talk about, and I guess we're lucky at that situation because there's quite a bit to talk about outside of last night's Monday Night Raw. And the first thing I wanted to discuss, because people wrote me and sent me the videos right away, is what happened apparently with Natalya and Ronda Rousey and Liv Morgan at a house show somewhere where literally Liv Morgan pins Natalya, and Natalya kind of takes the three count, totally no-sells the move, gets up instantaneously, slides out of the ring, points her finger what looks to be toward Liv Morgan, says something, and walks back to the dressing room. Now, if you haven't seen this, it makes Liv Morgan's finisher look absolutely ridiculous. She literally goes, one, two, three, okay, I lost, pop up, point at you, I'm out of here, see you later. And a lot of people were saying, hey, you know, that was wrong. That's a slight to Liv Morgan. And Natty had come back on her Twitter and basically said, if you must know, I'm breaking character, but if you must know, what I said to Liv Morgan was thank you. Well, I don't know what she said to Liv Morgan. But I'm going to tell you this. Now they're saying, well, there was a problem, but it didn't have anything to do with Liv. And she wasn't directing her anger to Liv, and the problem was resolved, and everything's wonderful. Well, let me tell you this. If I'm in the ring, and somebody totally no-sells my finisher, sold it to the point where, okay, you took the three count, but then pops right up like that didn't hurt, and I'm just out of here, then you better have a problem with me, because I'm the one you took it out on. I'm the one you no-sold. So if it's true that she said thank you to Liv Morgan and it wasn't Liv Morgan she had a problem with, then you owe Liv Morgan a huge apology because what you did there was unacceptable and unprofessional. And to be very honest with you, I am shocked beyond belief that someone like Natalya would do that. Shocked beyond belief. I don't care what your problem is. If we're all having a three-way match, and I'm mad at Todd over something he did in the ring, and Mike hits me with his finisher because he's scheduled to move, I'm not no-selling his finisher, popping up from it after the three count, pointing my finger at him and walking away. I'm doing the right thing. I'm selling his finisher. I'm waiting until we get back in the dressing room, and then I'm saying, hey, Todd, we got to talk. Right? That's what a professional does. And Natty, if nothing else, should be the ultimate professional. She should be the absolute face of that company as far as the women's division. She's been there the longest. She has a lot of sway. She's training a lot of the people. And you lead by example. And this is a horrible example. So I don't know if you saw it, Mike, but regardless of whether she has a problem with Liv Morgan or not, it was Liv Morgan who took the brunt of that.
Yeah, I saw it. I just didn't understand it at the time, and now I get a better look at it, and I just don't get it. I mean, like you said, she's been there the longest. She's trained all these ladies, even Ronda Rousey. She's trained, right? So
yeah.
So I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I have to assume her problem was with Ronda Rousey, because if it wasn't with Ronda Rousey, well, who else is your problem with? A referee? A fan? And that's how you react if you have a problem with a referee or a fan? That shouldn't even be how you react if you have a problem with Ronda Rousey, because it wasn't Ronda Rousey's move. It was Liv Morgan's move. Liv Morgan just recently became a champion, and you know selling her finisher. doesn't do her any favors. How would you like it if they did it to you? How would you like it if they said, okay, well, you're tapping Liv Morgan out with the sharpshooter, and then Liv Morgan says, well, I'm pissed at Ronda Rousey, so the second I tap out, I'm just rolling out of the ring, pointing my finger at Natty, and walking back to the dressing room like that didn't hurt. Is that acceptable? No, it's not. Todd, I don't know if you've seen it, but this is not the way you act if you're a professional worker.
I absolutely right there, like you said, you mentioned about not selling, not being professional about this whole thing with the Liv Morgan and the Natalya Hart thing, and it's in a way it's wrong.
She
on one
can
of
say
the parties.
She can say, oh, I wasn't mad at Liv. It had nothing to do with Liv, but Liv's the one you took it out on, though. That would be like me getting mad at a three-way match because one guy's really throwing potatoes at me, so I punch the other guy out. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And I don't believe it, by the way. I'm tired of being lied to. Now I want to address a couple other things. One, God love Chris Jericho for coming forward and saying exactly what I said on this show. That Vince McMahon paying this money, this hush money, is not unusual. It's not a crime. It's not anything else. People need to calm down. There's no rape allegations. There's no crazy. One person said I was forced. We'll see what happens with that. But as far as the other ones, Jericho's absolutely right. And I'm glad to see someone took our position. Now I'm going to take Jericho to task. Because in the same breath as he's saying that, and he's absolutely right, he says, it's very disrespectful for fans to point out when wrestlers make mistakes in the ring. Oh, it is? I thought it was a sport. In baseball, they not only point out when you make the mistake, they charge you with an error. Every sportscaster says, oh, look at this idiot, bobbled the ball. Look at this idiot, threw to the wrong base. Look at this idiot, dropped a pop fly. Look at this idiot who threw an interception pass when there was none of his men in sight. Look at this idiot who scored a goal on his own team. Pro wrestlers, oh, no, you can't point out a mistake. That's disrespectful. Get over yourselves. And now I'm going to take the fans to task. Apparently Marty Scurll has found a federation that wants to hire him. And the crybaby fans are all over it saying he should never be allowed to wrestle again because he took advantage of fans and young girls and it's a terrible, terrible thing. Well, let me tell you something. I've had it with this nonsense. What do you mean he should never be able to work again? Yeah, I'm not condoning what he did. But you don't get the right to say, now you no longer can be a pro wrestler. Who do you think you are? How about if we start checking fans before they come into the arena? Would you like to go see WrestleMania? Let's see your social media accounts. Let's see your work history. Let's see your arrest record. Let's see if you've ever had a DWI or you're on drugs. Let's see if you've ever been arrested for doing something. Huh? You want to go that route? No, you don't want to go that route. You just want to sit back on your easy chair in your little basement somewhere and say, this man should never work again because he's in a position of authority. What position of authority is Marty Scurll in? Is he a cop? Is he a school teacher? Is he a judge? No, he's a professional wrestler. Yes, but there are fans who might, then never listen to any music again, ever. Ever. Don't listen to any music. Throw away all your CDs, every one of them. Because if you think that these bands aren't taking advantage of groupies, if you think that, I don't care what kind of music it is, rap, rock, country, probably even opera, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, there's nobody with their hands clean in that business. You better not watch any movies anymore. Because all of those actors do the same thing, and actresses too. And it's not just men. Did we cancel the Go-Go's when the Go-Go's put out a video of them having guys do all kinds of ridiculous things and sexual things for their amusement? Remember that Go-Go's video that was circling around with all those women who were just poor victims? And they had all their male groupies back there doing all kinds of things? Huh? I think you people better wake up. If you're that sensitive, I think you need to perhaps seek some psychiatric help. Now, nobody's condoning what Marty Scurll did. I don't, and nobody's condoning what the Go-Go's did. Okay, I said when the Go-Go's did it. Well, okay, they're the type of that's the type of people they are. Congratulations. Okay, so Marty Scurll's not a nice guy. He's going to take advantage of a position. Okay. Well, now you know who he is, right? So if you're going to be working with him or you're going to be hiring him, you know the situation. But Jeff Hardy, he deserves 19 chances. Oh, Jeff Hardy, I hope he comes back to wrestling. After pleading not guilty to driving a car drunk for about the fifth time where he could have killed somebody, totally unrecalcitrant for it because he said, no, I plead not guilty, even though you blew a 2-0. He deserves all the chances in the world, even though he could have killed somebody. Marty Scurll trying to get a piece of ass and maybe goes a little bit too far and, you know, put some pressure on some people. He deserves to have a different job. He should never be in the pro wrestling industry again. You fans are nuts. You fans have lost your mind. Come back down to earth. Think he is. Why don't you check and see what Kevin Spacey did or is accused of doing? Stop it. Stop the nonsense. Marty Scurll deserves a job if somebody wants to hire him. A professional wrestler is not a figure of authority. Oh, he could potentially take advantage of his fans. So could a baseball player. So could a hockey player. So could a movie actor. So could a dancer. So could a musician. So could a magician. So could a million people. There is no such thing as not a position of authority if you're going to go by that. I can be the owner of an ice cream stand. And if the person wants a job, I could be in a position of authority. And anyone could be in a position of authority then. You can't arbitrarily say who belongs in the pro wrestling business and who don't. Shut up. If you don't like him, don't go see him. If you don't like him, don't attend a card that he's on. If you don't like him, don't support the federation he's going to work for. That's your right. I don't like what he did any better than you, and I probably wouldn't watch him. But to sit there and tell me he doesn't have a right to be a professional wrestler, it's stupid. So, Mike, here we go again with fans wanting to cancel everybody in the world.
Absolutely. I mean, look, these are the same fans that, oh, you know, you canceling guys for, you don't want to see what's Enzo because of what he got in trouble with, or you don't do this or you don't do that, or you're all for this or that guy getting fired and all this crap. And it's like, you hypocrites. Hypocrites all over the place, you know. I mean, I had a pastor that once said that hell is littered with hypocrites, right? You know, so think about it. You know, they're talking about, oh, Marty Scurll this, Marty Scurll that. What did he do? You know, what are we talking about with Vince McMahon? You know, with all these allegations that have come out. He's in a position of power, right?
Exactly. Look, I don't want to be the guy that tells the world there's no Santa Claus. And I'm not going to tell you that there aren't wrestlers who are above that and have never done such stuff, because there are. There's a decent amount of wrestlers who avoided that scene. But I'm going to tell you this. I worked for a long time reporting on wrestling, things that happened backstage. I got people who literally would only talk to me and not other people because they knew I wouldn't report on it, because they knew I was only going to talk about what went on in a wrestling ring. And what went on outside a wrestling ring, I wouldn't comment on one way or the other. Well, I got things that would set your hair on fire. From people who I'm sure you had posters on your wall of, and I'm sure you just love to talk about and bought their action figures and think they're wonderful. So stop. Stop before you begin to realize that a good amount of your heroes and a good amount of your entertainers and a good amount of the people you idolize and look up to and are influenced by have participated in the same stuff to some degree. Just telling you. It's crazy. And that's not just wrestling. I told you, I'm a musician. I hang out with lots of musicians. I know what the hell goes on. I don't have to participate in it. But the bottom line of the situation is if you canceled everybody that did it and said, well, if you're a musician and you had these wild backstage things with fans, and well, then forget it. Then there's no musicians. I don't know. Everybody would have to be a solo act, I guess, and all you'd have is Christian music, and you wouldn't even have very much of that. Because it's asinine. Anyway, let's get on to Raw. Because Raw was really, really bad. I am not going to sit here and shovel crap and try to justify this in any way, shape, or form. And I know there were people that said, oh, it was good to see Brock Lesnar back. Yeah, it was. Too bad he had nothing to say that was any different than he ever says. Paul Heyman had to come out to try to save the situation. He couldn't do it. Because Paul Heyman has nothing different to say than everything that he's always said. I felt like I turned my TV set on 4 months ago, 6 months ago. Then Austin Theory comes out with a briefcase. Why, I don't know. He can't cash it in on Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar's not a champion yet. Just to say, I might cash it in on you. Yeah, well, we know that, though. We already know that. And then inexplicably, for no reason at all, Alpha Academy attacks Brock Lesnar. Why would that be? Are they working for Roman Reigns? No. If they're supposed to be tight with Theory, well, why would Theory attack Roman? Why would Theory want Brock Lesnar attacked? And none of this makes any sense. It just doesn't make any sense at all. By the way, you had the Usos in the back staring at a monitor. Why weren't they out there with Paul Heyman? This is exactly what I mean when I say this whole damn thing with the bloodline is falling apart. How come they're not flanking Paul Heyman? How come they're not out there flexing, saying, hey, Brock, you think you're a big deal? You wait. Wait till Roman gets a hold of you. You want to try somebody? Try us. And then if he beat up the Usos, I get it. Now you're beating up Alpha Academy. What the hell does Alpha Academy have to do with anything? Brock Lesnar stumbling around talking about three little pigs. I don't even know what he's talking about. The only person that's there is Paul Heyman. I guess he's talking about the Usos and I don't know who the hell he's talking about. Nobody knows what he's talking about. Paul Heyman's trying to say, you put your money normally on Brock Lesnar, but please. I'm going to teach Roman Reigns. Well, he's already beat you. Why didn't Paul Heyman come out there and say the obvious? Brock, I'm hearing the words of a desperate man. You're out here with a smile on your face, but you know the truth, Brock. The truth is you've been beaten twice by Roman Reigns, and you're about to be beaten a third time by Roman Reigns. And then what excuse are you going to make, Brock? What are you going to say when they raise his hand and say, still champion Roman Reigns, huh? You're going to make another excuse? You're going to come out here with another cowboy hat on and say, I'm still better than him? Or are you going to accept the fact that your career is over? That would have made a hell of a lot more sense than this nonsense that they're spewing. I don't get it, Mike. I don't get this whole segment. I just think this whole segment was trash.
I don't get it either. And you're right about the Usos. They should have been out there flanking Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman's carrying the two belts. Fine, whatever. And the Usos got their four belts. Fine, whatever. You know, why weren't they out there flanking Paul Heyman? You know, that's the point.
But who comes to his rescue, sort of, is it? The Alpha Academy. Yeah, that makes sense. Not that it's not fun to watch Otis go through the table. I mean, that was all fun. But it doesn't make any sense, Todd. There's no reason for them to be out there or even be upset with Brock Lesnar.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it doesn't make sense to have Alpha Academy come out to help Austin Theory. It should have been the Usos in the first place that she came out with Paul.
They just wanted that spot. They just wanted that spot with Otis going through the table, which is a fun spot, but it makes no sense. So then we get Rey Mysterio against Finn Balor. And the whole point of this is, Dominic, you need to come with us. Yes, because Dominic's such a blue chipper. Nobody believes this. If you're really into Judgment Day, you're saying, Jesus, don't put Dominic in this group. If you put Dominic in this group, it's done. The group is done. Please don't do that. But it looks like they're going to. I guarantee there's going to be a match at SummerSlam. It's going to be a tag team match, and at some point Dominic will probably turn on Rey. And you can kiss Judgment Day goodbye. When Damian Priest is better on the mic than Finn Balor, it's time to go home, Finn. At least sounded kind of sinister and dark and a little bit whatever. Finn Balor saying, I'll tell you what, laddie boy, he sounds like a leprechaun. Could you try a little harder, Finn, to sound a little darker and eerier and a little bit much of a different Finn? I was expecting you to give him a friggin' box of Lucky Charms. And before anybody says, you can't say nothing about the Irish, I'm as Irish as you can get. So I can say what I want about the Irish. I'm 100% Irish. Finn Balor did a horrible job. Dominic, sitting there, looked like he's constipated. He don't know what to do. He has no facial expression, zero. So they put on a good match. So what? It was a pretty fun match. And Finn Balor wins. Okay, well. Is anybody excited about Judgment Day? Anybody thinking, wow, this is great? And I thought the Edge quit because they were going to be supernatural and he didn't want them to be supernatural. I see nothing supernatural about this group. They were more supernatural with Edge than they are with Finn Balor, Mike.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. And when you take Finn Balor away from AJ Styles, that's horrible. You know, I know that other three-man group, Liv Morgan, achieved better, but they really shouldn't split those. We've said it before, they panicked when all the faces got hurt and they needed a face. They panicked and split Edge from that group. They panicked.
Absolutely correct. You couldn't have said it better. They panicked. That's exactly what they did. So, Todd, I mean, you know, Judgment Day's not supernatural at this point. I don't even know what the hell they are, and nobody cares. And if you put Dominic in this group, it's going to be worse.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. If they put Dominic Mysterio in this Judgment Day thing, it's done. It won't work. He just don't look intimidated like Balor and Priest there. And, you know, look, my thought on during that match, I would have a Edge vignette.
Or at least not come to a conclusion. You know, you could have had some, I don't know. I'm just not a fan of the whole thing. The match was good as far as the technical ability of the wrestlers. Everything was fine. But we then get to The Miz and Ciampa. The Miz comes out and asks Ciampa why. People want to know why we're hanging out together. And Ciampa literally says, and you can see the disgust on his face, by the way. I've spoken to Tommaso Ciampa. He's a very intelligent guy. He understands wrestling very well. He knows he was given bullshit. If Tommaso Ciampa would be honest and come on this show, he would say, Marcus, I was given bullshit to say. What do you want me to do? I can't make horseradish out of horse shit. So what does he have to say? I know the easiest way, the best way to make a name for myself is to align myself with a person who has the most eyes on them, and that's The Miz. No. The person who has the most eyes on them would be Roman Reigns. The second person would potentially be, I guess, the next champion now. The Miz? Whoa, how does he have eyes on him? When's The Miz been a contender? I mean, God almighty. Who wrote that line? That's just terrible for Tommaso Ciampa. That's just terrible. I want to be a second banana to the Miz because that's my easiest way to the top. Yeah, well, why don't you ask John Morrison? Why don't you ask Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel? How'd that work? That does not make any sense. And we're going to fight AJ Styles in a handicap match. Now, the right way to have done this, but the WWE doesn't know shit from applesauce anymore. I don't know how they have fans. The right way to have done this was to say Tommaso Ciampa versus AJ Styles. And then when AJ Styles got to that ring, The Miz should have said, little surprise for you. Talk to Adam Pearce and the powers that be, and it's not going to be Tommaso Ciampa versus AJ Styles. It's going to be AJ Styles versus Tommaso Ciampa and The Miz. Oh, and by the way, yeah, it's true that Adam Pearce did say if you could find a tag team partner, you're more than welcome. But I got news. No one wants to be your tag team partner. Finn Balor turned on you. Liv Morgan left. Nobody wants to be a tag team partner of AJ Styles. Almost. How did that work out? There's not a soul in that dressing room who wants to be a tag team partner of AJ Styles. So I guess you're going to have to go it alone, my friend. Let's see how phenomenal you really are. As soon as they start to approach ringing the bell, then Ezekiel should have came down and said, you know, it occurred to me I've never introduced myself to AJ Styles. And I don't know what they're talking about because my brother Elias says you're a nice guy. And my brother Elias said maybe I should come down and see if you might want a tag team partner. That's the right way to do it. Unfortunately, that's not the way you did it. And this match was a nightmare. And I have no idea how the ending occurred because we've seen people do the exact same thing 100 million times and not be disqualified. And all of a sudden, Tommaso Ciampa's disqualified. I don't know, man. I don't know. Mike, again, nothing wrong with the match itself, but this is a horror show how they're using their athletes.
You know, if they were smart, and we've said it before, what's-his-name is doing nothing on SmackDown right now. Yeah, we like to see Ezekiel and stuff like that, but Nakamura is doing literally nothing. He's not going to win that title on SmackDown. He's just not, all right? So when that partner thing came up and The Miz says there is nobody who likes you and you can't find a partner, boom, Nakamura's music hits.
Even if you wanted to make it Ezekiel because you wanted to try to promote him as being a big deal, then you know how you do this. You make it look like you cheated. And you're about to pin Ezekiel or AJ Styles, one of the two. I'd have picked Ezekiel. You're about to pin Ezekiel. You give him the skull-crushing finale or whatever, and all of a sudden Logan Paul's face appears on the thing saying, hey, Miz, I heard what you said the other day about us being tag team partners. I don't know what the hell you're talking about, Miz. I'm coming there to beat your ass. You understand that, right? In the meantime, while the Miz is looking at the monitor, have Ezekiel wrap him up for the three count. Then it puts some heat on the damn that Logan Paul, right? They can't even do that. They don't get it. They don't even get how to do a basic professional wrestling angle anymore. Not even a basic one, Todd. They always take the worst way to get to the same thing.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with this whole thing with The Miz and Tommaso Ciampa and AJ Styles and that Logan Paul character. And like you said, with that Miz TV thing, Tommaso Ciampa didn't look like he didn't want to be there.
Well, you wouldn't either if you had to say that. If you had to say, I realize my golden ticket to the top of the WWE is to be a hanger-on of The Miz. And I love The Miz. I've told you a million times. I think he's one of the best people that you've got in the WWE. But you can't have people saying that because then this makes him look like an idiot because that's not true. So Ciampa's done before he starts. He's just cannon fodder for Logan Paul, you watch. Alexa Bliss and Asuka defeats Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. This is called, we have no clue what to do with Alexa Bliss. None whatsoever. This is the equivalent of having Ezekiel come out with Elias's guitar. You've got Alexa Bliss coming out with Lily, but they have nothing to do with one another. Just nothing at all. Totally different person, but she's still hanging on to the top. We have no teasing of what would happen if that doll was removed. We have no we have nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing even to really talk about there. We then have the Usos come out. Street Profits confront them. If there was a bright spot in this show, it's R-Truth coming out and at least providing some comedy relief. My favorite part of Raw this week, probably the only part that I thought was actually entertaining, other than the basic matches themselves, which are frustrating because they all ended wrong, was watching Jey Uso try not to laugh at R-Truth. Jey Uso was almost 9 times in 5 minutes. He was struggling. And the camera would not leave him alone. That's the thing. He's in full camera shot. You'd think they'd say, okay, he's having a little hard time. Let's pull the camera to a different angle. No, no, they're right there where you can see his facial expression. He's biting his tongue. He's biting his lip. He's putting his head over his hand in his head. He's trying hard. And it was funny to watch because R-Truth was actually funny. However, here we go again. So R-Truth says, you want to fight me because you call me a clown? Well, I'll take my two partners and me, and then it's even. And then for some ungodly reason, known to nobody except the WWE, MVP and Omos came out. What they have to do with the Usos, I could not imagine. Would it not be MVP wanting Omos to get a shot at Roman Reigns' title instead of aligning himself with the Usos and the bloodline? Wouldn't that be what you wanted for your client? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to align myself with it. Makes no sense. Tell you something else that doesn't make any sense. In the match, who hasn't won a match since I don't know when, other than the 24-7 thing. And he's not the guy that gets pinned. No, the contenders that's going to SummerSlam to face the champion, one of them is the one that gets pinned. What sense does that make? You have three options of who to pin, and one of them's R-Truth, and you don't come up with that option? Explain. I just don't understand that, Mike. I mean, it seems like everything they did last night was wrong as far as their logic, as far as their booking. I just don't get this one.
Right, and I love R-Truth to death, but if you were going to use somebody in that match, why don't you – I mean, R-Truth is pretty good, but the guy that's the hottest at what he does is, you know, Tozawa. You know, I get Tozawa doesn't speak, you know, I get that he maybe doesn't speak the language all that well, but he speaks it better than most, you know, and this guy, I mean, it would probably have been about the same with Jey Uso trying to keep a straight face because Tozawa is just as good or even better at the comedy stuff than as is R-Truth.
Thing is, I don't care if you're going to use R-Truth, but then he's the guy that's got to get pinned. You've got the Street Profits going into SummerSlam to face the champions. Why are they being pinned when you have R-Truth there to take the pinfall? What sense does that make? It doesn't make any sense at all. None. We then get to Bobby Lashley, who all of a sudden just loves Riddle, thinks Riddle's the nicest guy. Remember when he was trying to kill Riddle? And Theory and Seth Rollins. And I knew this was going to be a good match. I mean, I'm not saying Bobby Lashley is a great wrestler, but Bobby Lashley, when he's given the right opponent, can be good. And certainly Theory, Rollins, and Riddle are all very, very good. So I knew this was going to be a match. And it was. It was a great match. My problem with this match is, what did I tell you was going to happen? I said, now that Theory has the Money in the Bank briefcase, he will lose every goddamn match he's in. And what happens? He loses the match. He loses it in a really weird way because a totally revamped Dolph Ziggler comes down with a suit, sits at ringside, and then when Theory's about to win, with his feet on the ropes, he kicks Theory's feet off the ropes. Now, I have a different take on this. Maybe I'm wrong. People are saying, well, they've turned Dolph Ziggler good, and he's going to feud with Theory. He's going to be a face, and he's going to fight Theory. I don't know if that's true. I don't know why, but I got this weird feeling that Dolph Ziggler is going to be like a manager of Theory. Like Mr. McMahon appointed me to watch over you. And I don't know why he kicked his feet off the ropes. I guess to teach him a lesson. Now, you can't be taking the shortcuts. You got to do things that you got to do it a different way. You saw me at ringside. You knew there was a possibility I could do that, yet you did it. Those are the things that cost you matches. If you'd done it on the other side of the ring, I wouldn't have been able to get there in time. You need to learn these type of things from the master. I have a feeling that's what it's – I don't see why you would have a feud with Dolph Ziggler. He's got a SummerSlam match against Bobby Lashley, and he's got a Money in the Bank briefcase already. I'm not sure why a temporary feud with Dolph Ziggler would mean anything. So I don't think that's the direction they're heading. I could be wrong because the WWE does whatever they want to do, so they could be heading in the Dolph Ziggler feud with Austin Theory. But, Todd, I got this weird feeling, what with the suit and the tie and everything, that this is going to be some sort of a mentor thing with Dolph Ziggler. What do you think?
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said. And by the looks of it, Dolph Ziggler last time, after he got that, after the match was over, that tag team match, when he got in the ring, he just super kicked Austin Theory right in the middle of the ring, like looking down on him.
Yep. And I'm thinking to myself, that's got to be like a part of the lesson. Like Theory's going to come out there and say, "What I want to hear from Dolph Ziggler." And Ziggler's going to come out and say, "Kid, I just gave you the most valuable lesson you're going to have. That's just lesson number one. Once I teach you everything I know, you are going to be the most successful guy here." I just got that feeling that they're going to be moving Dolph Ziggler into that area where he's more going to be a advisor. Maybe they're going to say Vince McMahon appointed me or whatever, but I just, and maybe some of this has to do with the fact that Vince isn't going to be there on camera much. But either way, I don't see how this is going to be a feud, Mike, because he's already got his feud set up for SummerSlam, so it really doesn't make any sense to start another feud before it.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, and that's the thing. And I think you're exactly right. Theory's good on the mic, but Dolph is better. He's funnier. He's better. He's more. I don't want to say arrogant, but he's better. I mean, he is a veteran after all, and that's the thing. When you got a guy that's that good on the mic like Ziggler is, yeah, Ziggler can come in and do a fairly decent job in the ring, but he's really good on the mic. And he can sell Theory's matches, help sell Theory's matches, you know. And you're right, this is going to be one of these things where the Dirty Dog, and they actually said that, the Dirty Dog, right at the end of the show. So at least they're still using the name of the tag team, right? So there, but also...
Yeah, maybe, and here's something else to consider. Maybe this is the way they're going to slowly turn Theory to face. I mean, maybe they're going to have Ziggler put him through all kinds of shit, have Theory say, I don't know, Dolph, I mean, I think I was doing okay on my own. I got the Money in the Bank briefcase. I was, you know, I had the championship for a while, the U.S. championship for a while. I think I'm doing okay. I don't necessarily think I need, oh, no, this is what you need. You know, the old Bugs Bunny thing, do this, do that, do this, do that, you know, and putting him through the chores where he keeps getting hurt and loses and hurt and loses and hurt and loses and saying, yep, that's your lesson, yep, that's your lesson, yep, that's your lesson, until finally Theory says, hey, dude, you know, I think you're just effing with me. That could be where this is heading, because I don't see this as a feud. Why would you feud a guy with Dolph Ziggler before the match with Bobby Lashley at SummerSlam? It does not make sense. Now, with the WWE, maybe they're just going to do a one-off. Next week, it's going to be Theory against Dolph Ziggler, and Theory wins, and that's it. You never see Dolph Ziggler again. That could happen because the WWE is like that. But to give him the whole new look, the whole new feel, he didn't come out looking like he was there to rest. He came out looking like he was there to advise. And I think he's going to say that was just a hard lesson. Far from it that I want to fight with you. Far from it that I want to start a feud with you. I believe in you. And Mr. McMahon believes in you. But you're green, and we just showed you how easily somebody can take a match away from you, surprise you. You got a lot of lessons you need to learn here. You're the Money in the Bank holder. You got an outstanding chance at becoming champion. These are the things you're going to need to know. I have a feeling that's where this is heading. I could be totally off base, but I got a feeling this is where it's heading. At any rate, well, what was the show? Not good, folks. This just goes to show you how little actual star power these shows have. Ezekiel's not working. He was working a little bit with Kevin Owen because Kevin Owen was really carrying that thing. So that was working. Without Kevin Owen there to do all that stuff, this isn't working. And I knew once they got past this, it wasn't going to work. It's a one-trick thing. You're not Ezekiel, you're Elias. And as soon as nobody cares anymore, it's a boring character. Why you just don't bring back Elias? I don't know. Because he was not boring. And obviously you know that because he mentions him enough, doesn't he? You've wasted the Alpha Academy. Nobody cares about them. Dominic Mysterio may as well be a cardboard cutout that you put in the ring of Dominic Mysterio. Nobody cares. Judgment Day has been ruined. You said, well, we're losing Edge because Edge doesn't want this to be a supernatural, dark organization, and we do, and then you turn it around and make it anything but that. Makes no sense. None of it makes any sense. The logic, the lack of logic in WWE booking is it's astronomical. When you can take AJ Styles, who arguably is one of, if not the best wrestler there, and make him boring where you're like, I really don't care about this match, then, yeah, you got a problem. You got a definite problem with your creative. When you can't figure out that you need to have R-Truth pinned instead of the contenders for the tag team championships at SummerSlam, you got a problem. All of these things are bad issues. All of these things are inexplicable. When you can't find anything better to do with Tommaso Ciampa, you don't think Tommaso Ciampa is a darker character than Dominic Mysterio? How come they couldn't introduce Tommaso Ciampa into the Judgment Day? He's not a darker character than Dominic Mysterio, huh? Wow. Okay. Chad Gable would be better in the damn Judgment Day than Dominic Mysterio, and he's far from a dark character, right? Holy mackerel, folks. I don't know who's writing this stuff. I really don't. If there's any good news, it's this. Despite my own opinion, and my opinion is that Liv Morgan is not ready to be the champion, I don't think she's a very good wrestler. And I don't think she's all that charismatic. It looks as though I'm in the minority. Because from what I'm hearing, the crowds have been really popping for her, and her merchandise has been going good. So, hey, you know, listen, it's just not my thing. I don't see it. That's just me. But if her merchandise is going, like they say, and the crowds are popping for her, like they say, and I've seen some of the crowd pop. I'm still not convinced it's a huge pop. But if her merchandise is moving and if they see the crowds leaning in her direction, I have no problem with her being the champion because I've said it a million times. You don't have to think they're the best wrestler in the world. If they're putting asses in seats and they're moving merchandise, then you got to go with who's hot. And if she's hot, she's hot. So I don't know, Mike. All in all, I'm going to give this, I can't give this any more than a D. I'll give it a D+. But boy, that's being generous because really, other than the fact that technically the matches were okay, and some of them better than okay, there was so much self-destructive booking and so much illogical holes in the storylines that it makes it almost not fun to watch.
Right, and I got to get over to D as well. And you know what was really fun to watch, though? The reaction between Riddle and Lashley. I mean, Lashley is playing Riddle kind of like was playing Riddle kind of like Randy Orton was. He's annoying, but what can you do? You know? And it appeared that Lashley was having a ball with it, you know? And that's the thing. When you've got a guy that can get people to like him, get the other workers to like him that much that they say, like, what can you do with him but like him? That's going to be a guy that's going to be around for a while, is Riddle. And frankly, look, he has a bunch of finishing maneuvers, but think about this. If Randy Orton does not come back, and if his injury is that serious that he does not come back, you could very well see Riddle take over with the take that as one of his finishing maneuvers. And what have we said about a guy with multiple finishing maneuvers? You have to have a guy with multiple finishing maneuvers to keep that guy fresh. I mean, how many does AJ Styles have, you know?
At least three. Yeah, no, I agree with you. But, again, you have to make sure all three of them at some point was successful in winning a match. I mean, Sheamus has white noise. I can't tell you the last time Sheamus has won a match with white noise. Never that I know of. So to say, well, that's his finisher, or that blue thunder bomb of Sami Zayn, when's the last time he won a match with that? So that's not a finisher because it has never finished anybody. AJ Styles has tapped people out with a calf crusher. He's pinned a ton of people with a phenomenal forearm, and the Styles Clash has put a lot of people away. So all those are three legitimate, proven, successful finishers. So that's when it becomes great, when you can do that. Now, Riddle has at least two now. So we'll see. And you're right about Riddle. Look, people have figured it out. They figured it out that if you're going to have a partner, if Riddle's going to have a partner, the one partner has to be the straight man. The one partner has to play it for not laughs. Every good comedic person has the straight man, right? Well, that's what Lashley was last night. That's what Randy Orton figured out. The way to play Riddle and make him successful is that you have to be totally straight up. You can't be funny. You got to let him be that, and you react to him. And that's correct. That's absolutely correct. Todd, what's your rating on this week's Raw?
I got to go with you guys, the same grade as you guys.
Well, it's all a D, folks, and this isn't good. I mean, and there was ways to improve this. The Brock Lesnar beginning would have been fine. There would have been absolutely no problem with this Brock Lesnar thing if you replaced the Alpha Academy with the Usos, and the Usos were already there. They're already there. Would have been a totally different situation if you had the Judgment Day clearly say, instead of, we want to recruit Dominic, we gave you your chance, and now we're going to destroy Dominic. Would have been a whole lot better. I don't want to see Dominic in the Judgment Day, and I don't know anybody who does. And for them to say we want him in makes them look like fools. Because they should say, well, he's obviously not ready. He's obviously not our style. Please. Carmella versus Bianca Belair with a count out. No one take Carmella seriously. So why even do it? To further the match between Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair that we've already seen a dozen times? AJ Styles and Ezekiel, and what does that come to? A disqualification that we've never seen before, and people have done the exact same thing. At least you could have had them do something to be disqualified, bring a chair in the ring, something. Something that we say, okay, well, I could see you being disqualified for that. Nah, what was he doing? Alexa Bliss and Asuka versus Doudrop and Nikki Ash. Doudrop and Nikki Ash are irrelevant at this point. Alexa Bliss is very close to irrelevant at this point. And Asuka just came off dropping a match to Becky Lynch, so she's heading for irrelevancy very quickly. The Usos and the Street Profits get hijacked by an R-Truth comedy angle and almost for no reason, and then the Street Profits get pinned in it, which makes absolutely no sense when you have a perfectly healthy R-Truth to take the pin, but no. And then we have this weird thing with Theory, who's the Money in the Bank briefcase holder and should technically be on a roll. Loses match. And I just say to myself, I don't know. I mean, it seems like you're trying to tell a story in the worst possible way. And, Mike, that's sort of their modus operandi. They say, well, we're going to get to the story, but we're going to take you through the worst possible scenarios first and blow all of your interest in the story before the payoff. That's WWE's modus operandi lately.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I mean, look, I mean, how come? I mean, I get it. You want... this is a poor way. What they're doing is, if they really want to get to Asuka and Becky Lynch, this is a poor way to do it. They keep taking the roughest roads. I mean, when you're going down the road, you're going somewhere, right? When you're going somewhere, Marcus, and you got a choice, you come to a fork in the road, and you got a choice between a nice, fresh blacktop road and a gravel road. And what do you take? Well, it seems like the WWE takes the gravel road, right?
Every time. And then I've been trying to get to Asuka and Becky Lynch. They've just thrown Asuka under the bus. She lost to Becky Lynch. That's all they're going to do. That was the blow-off match. That's it. They're trying to get to Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair again. That's what they're trying to get to. I do want to end this broadcast on a little bit of an up note. Even though I think it's disingenuous, I'm going to report it. Jordynne Grace, who made the foolish, ridiculous statement that Chris Benoit could not hang with wrestlers of her generation, and totally made a complete dunce out of herself, at least had the decency to retract her statement and say it was dumb. And it was made out of haste and not really well thought out. And I guess has teamed with Chris Benoit's son to raise money for a charity dealing with brain injuries and things like that. So at least there's a happy ending there. Do I think Jordynne Grace really means it? No. I think Jordynne Grace said it and said, oh, shit. Look at the backlash I got from the wrestling community. I guess I'm done. I better backtrack so fast my heels are catch fire. But at least at the end of the day, she did the right thing. So I'm not going to pick on her for it. But I suggest that people like that really think before you post something. Really think about it. No one, if Chris Benoit did what they say he did, and I still say I have some reservations, but if he did, he is not worthy of your adulation. However, it does not take away his ability. If you found out tomorrow that Babe Ruth was a bank robber, you can't say, well, he wasn't a good home run hitter. He kind of sucked. Well, no. That's not true. And the backlash that she got from the wrestling community actually made me a little bit more optimistic, because I thought the wrestling community would all rush to her defense and say, she's so right. She's just, you preach on, girl. And instead, she had a huge backlash of people saying, you have no idea what you're talking about. Zero. That came from Conan. That came from some of the people in the Benoit family, that came from Chavo Guerrero, that came from a ton of people in the wrestling business, and I think she realized the error of her ways, Mike, and has since retracted and backpedaled.
Right, to the point of actually working with David, you know,
right,
with his charity, and I don't know where David is in his career. I know at one point he was trying to get into wrestling or do wrestling or whatever, but if he still is, I don't know how good he is or whatever. But hey, that's if she's backtracking, then that's the right decision to make, right? You shouldn't have said it in the first place, but if you've got to cover your ass. This is the way to do it, you know?
Yeah, and I think she was trying to bow before the mob. I think she thought, oh, boy, if I post this, this will make me popular, and everyone will say how woke and wonderful I am. And instead, she got a backlash, people saying, you have no idea what you're talking about. And maybe this is a wake-up call to everybody out there, okay? Talk about your wrestling. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. Let's not get into personal things. And that includes Chris Jericho. I agree with him on one thing, which is the Vince McMahon situation. I disagree with him on the you're not allowed to call out a mistake of a wrestler. But maybe it would be better for Chris Jericho to just say, hey, man, you know, let the fans do what they want. If we screw up and the fans don't acknowledge it, how does that make us better wrestlers? If the fans acknowledge it, then you're like, ooh, I better not do that again. They'll call me right out on it. Remember when the whole crowd used to chant, you effed up in ECW? And those wrestlers would be like, man, they'll call you on it in a heartbeat. You better not screw up, because these fans know, and they'll call you on it right then and there. That made them better workers, because they said, I can't screw up, right? If you screwed up and said nobody noticed it, then you become lazy, and you say, oh, they're not going to notice if I screw up. Why do I have to bust my ass working so hard not to screw up when the fans don't even notice when I do? So I think Chris Jericho's dead wrong about that. Anyway, Raw was terrible, absolutely terrible. I can only hope SmackDown will be better. We'll figure that out, and we'll be back here Friday with the weekly report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Wrestling Chat.